In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Word is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into song. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord,
your word is firmly fixed in the heavens.
Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
You have established the earth, and it stands fast.
By your appointment they stand this day.
For all things are your service.
If your law had not been my delight,
I would have perished in my affliction.
I will never forget your precepts.
For by them you have given me life.
I am yours. Save me.
For I have sought your precepts.
The wicked lie in wait to destroy me.
But I consider your testimonies.
I have seen a limit to all perfection.
But your commandment is exceedingly broad. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Forever, O Lord.
Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens.
The second reading from the letters is from the second letter of St. Peter, the first chapter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, a prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of life, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From our Gospel reading, John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." This is our text. Words. Words are powerful things, even though they don't seem like all that much. What are words, after all, but sound, but waves pushing on air molecules that bounce off of each other like billiard balls, and then finally find their ways into our ear holes and bounce off our eardrums? Or words written, just squiggles and shapes in the form of letters on a printed page. They don't look like much. But the right word at the right time can be a powerful thing. It can bring great comfort to someone. And the wrong word at the wrong time can also be powerful, but for evil, and create distress. With our words, we make promises, we marry, we encourage, we hurt, we build up, we tear down, we give life, and we destroy. Today's gospel reading from the Gospel of John is about words. Words from the mouth of the one who is the very Word of God in human flesh. Words that are spirit and life. Words of eternal life. Jesus' words. "The Spirit gives life," Jesus says. "The flesh is of no avail." Now, when he says the flesh is of no avail, he means our flesh, not his. His flesh is the bread of life that comes down from heaven to give life to the world. But our flesh was born dead in sin and trespasses, turned away from God and his word. Our flesh cannot save us. Do you remember what Jesus said about our flesh a few weeks ago from Mark chapter 7? What is it that comes out of the fallen, sinful heart of man? Things that defile us. He says the same thing again today. Our flesh counts for nothing, because our flesh is rotten to the core. All our flesh can do is die, and we know that all too well. Sometimes we're on the very brink. Death is the way of all flesh. But death is not God's last word to us. Death, of course, is a word that God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after the fall into sin, but it is not the last word. And it is not the worst thing that can happen to us. You might say that death is God's second to last word. If you know poetry, you would call it the penultimate word, and a necessary word for our sinful flesh. His last word is what he says to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through the mouth and the hands and the dying and rising of Jesus. God's word in the flesh. And that word in the flesh, just like words that are sound waves or squiggles on paper, that word can be resisted, it can be rejected, people can even walk away from it. When our Lord came in his earthly ministry, he didn't come as if it were always the Mount of Transfiguration with overwhelming glory and might and power, but he came in human flesh in a way that people could look at, shake their heads, and walk away. "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life," Jesus said. Where Jesus' words are, there the Holy Spirit is. And where the Spirit is, there is life. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. So the Holy Spirit is inseparable from the words of Jesus. Any spirit that comes apart from Jesus' words is not the Holy Spirit. And any words that come without the Spirit are not Jesus' words. Martin Luther and the Lutheran Confessions are very clear on this point. In one place they say, whatever is attributed to the Spirit, apart from such word and sacrament, is of the devil. Whatever is attributed to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, apart from God's word and the holy sacraments, is of the devil. But this is a great comfort to us as well, because it means that we are never left in doubt as to whether the Spirit is present and active among us. If you want to know whether the Holy Spirit is in a place, we don't need people speaking in tongues. We don't need strange religious experiences. We don't need even to feel uplifted or to feel anything at all, though it is nice when we do. If we want to know whether the Holy Spirit is in a place, all we need to know is whether Jesus' words are preached and heard there. Because where Jesus' words are preached and are heard, there we can be sure that the Holy Spirit is present and is active and is giving life. The words of Jesus come to us in an ordinary way. Words that are formed in mouths, that come through lips, that are spoken by tongue and teeth and carried by sound waves through the air into our ears, where they then send the messages to our brain. Words are so simple, so ordinary, even the words of Jesus, and yet his words are at the same time Spirit-filled words and life-giving words. His words are not just plain words, but they are the very words of God himself, and they do what he tells them to do. With his words, Jesus does all sorts of marvelous things. We could spend a lot of time reviewing in the scriptures what Jesus does with his words, but here are a few. With his words, Jesus changed water into wine. With his words, he healed a sick child from a distance. With his words, he told a paralytic to rise, take up his mat, and go home. And the man did. His word does exactly what he says. As we heard from the book of Isaiah the prophet, God's word does not return empty or void, but his word is powerful and effective to do what it says. And this also explains that vision from the beginning of the book of Revelation of Jesus, where Jesus appears glorified with a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. His word is powerful and effective. And he is the word made flesh who speaks words that are alive and words that are life-giving, filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' words that are spirit and are life have been and are spoken to us. Jesus' words were first spoken to us personally by name when we were baptized. They are spoken to us together as a community of believers at the very beginning of the service when we hear the absolution. His words are spoken to us when you come to me as your pastor to make individual confession. And they do what they say. They forgive sins. When you hear those words, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, you are hearing not my words, but the words of Jesus, spoken by his authority, secured for you by his own death and resurrection. And Jesus' words are spoken to us in the Holy Communion, where he says, take and eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And Jesus' words are the only reason for us to be here this morning. They are the only reason that our congregation exists, that our Savior Lutheran Church is here at the corner of 2, 2A, and 140, because of Jesus' words. The church is a creature of the living words of Jesus, and this is why we celebrate today the Sunday of the Word, why we encourage and rejoice in his word not only as we gather for service, but then as we gather again for Sunday school and for Bible class, why we rejoice to have the word in our homes where we can pick it up every day and have the words of Jesus entering into our ears and into our minds and our hearts. The church was called into existence by the word of Christ. You might recall how the first disciples began following Jesus when he simply said, "Follow me." And so the church begins. And the church continues to grow and to feed on the words of Jesus. Each one of us was given life by the Spirit working through his words, and each one of us is strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit continuing to work through the words of Jesus. In the section of John's Gospel that we read today, it comes at the very end of John chapter 6. And it comes in a moment when Jesus has been speaking very hard words for people to believe. Not to understand, but to believe. He had said, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And when some of the disciples heard those words, they pulled away from Jesus and no longer wanted to follow him. They found those words too hard to believe. And so they went shopping elsewhere, you might say. They went looking for other words. Jesus' membership was declining and his followers were thinning. But when they walked away, Jesus didn't go chasing after them saying, "Come back, I didn't mean that. You must have misunderstood. Is there another way I could have said it?" No, Jesus stuck by his words that his body and blood are the life of the world. They had understood his words perfectly. They simply didn't want to hear them anymore. Jesus will not change his words. He does not back off of what he says. He does not take back anything that he has ever spoken. But instead, he stands by his word forever, even when it drives him to the cross. In that moment, Jesus then turned from those who were leaving back to his closest disciples, the 12, his apostles in training, those who had followed him from the beginning. And he looked them right in the eye and he said to them, "What about you? Are you also going to leave?" And Simon Peter responds as one who has been taught by the Holy Spirit. Simon Peter speaks as one who has fed on the life-giving words of Jesus. He looks right back at Jesus in the eye and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The words of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they give eternal life. Not infallibly, not irresistibly, people can hear and walk away, but we are gathered here because we have heard and believe. No amount of theological education guarantees a ticket to heaven, but only Jesus Christ crucified can do that. And he does it by putting his words into us week after week and Sunday after Sunday. Think about what happens as we gather here. We come in and we bring our words. A poor, pitiful, miserable sinner. We bring our sin. And then Jesus brings his words. And this is what we call worship. His words may not be the most entertaining. They may not be the most uplifting. They will not satisfy the flesh's desire to be entertained, amused, uplifted, and intrigued. His words may not be new and improved like so many things that are attempted to be sold to us. But remember, when it comes to death and resurrection, Jesus is, hands down, the expert in the field. No one does death and resurrection like Jesus. In fact, no one else does death and resurrection at all. They only do death. No one else has the words of eternal life. And that's why we are here today. Not to be entertained, not to be amused, not to have our emotions uplifted. If that's why we've come, then we're likely to leave as disappointed as those disciples who left and walked away. We are here to die and rise with Jesus. We are here to die to our sin and to ourselves, and to be raised up out of our sin and death to eternal life by the forgiveness of our sins. That's the only item on the agenda. That's the only thing Jesus has come to do. And no one is here today calling the shots except for him, and his words are doing exactly what he says. They forgive your sins. They bestow life. They bless you. They give you the Holy Spirit. They are the words of eternal life. They are the words of the Holy One of God who died for you. And he will never lie to you. He will never deceive you with his words. And Jesus' words are what will carry us through. His words will carry us through the chaos, the disorder, the doubt, the sin in our lives and in the world around us. His words will see us through when everything else may feel like it's falling apart and when every attempt to save ourselves has failed. His words will take us to the grave and then through the grave into the resurrection. His words will raise the dead. That's what they do. They are spirit and they are life, and they bring eternal life. Where else can we go to find words like these? Jesus alone has the flesh and blood that gives real food for eternal life, and he gives himself to you. Jesus alone has the words that conquer death and give life, and he speaks them to you. His word, his holy sacrament, his holy scriptures, at the center of what we do Sunday after Sunday after Sunday here in the divine service. And his words are here for you today, again, that you may have eternal life in him. And you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Please be seated. I now invite forward our congregational elders, Dave Faribault and Ed Schaefer. Beloved brothers, you have been chosen out of this congregation as men known to be filled with the Spirit and with the Word of God, to serve as elder brothers over God's family in this place, as extensions of the pastoral office. You are to see that services of worship are held regularly and conducted decently and in order, and that the gospel is preached in its purity, in accord with the sound biblical and Lutheran faith, that young and old are provided with further teaching, that Christian discipline is maintained, and that this church to which God has entrusted his word and sacraments eagerly obeys Christ's command to make disciples to the praise and glory of his grace. Under my supervision, you are to counsel, rebuke, and encourage your fellow believers, to visit the sick, and to care for those in need. You are to pray daily for the members of this congregation, for those still being instructed in the faith, for all who will be saved by the gospel through us,
and for all who do not yet know the name of Jesus, and for me, your brother. You are to study the Bible earnestly every day, so that you and your families will be firm models of the Christian life, so that you may live blamelessly in faith, obedience, and love in the eyes of this congregation and in the eyes of God our Savior. I therefore ask you in his presence and in the presence of his household, will you carefully and faithfully carry out the duties of your office in accord with the Holy Scriptures and the confessions of our church? Then answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you alone provide fit servants to your church. For the sake of the shepherd who laid down his life for us, grant power from heaven to these men whom you have adopted as your sons. Through your word, fill their hearts with the Holy Spirit's light. Hold their right hands and lead them, that they also may lay down their lives to feed the lambs and tend the sheep of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you from on high and make you a blessing, that you may bear fruit that will last into eternal life. Amen. And I now invite forward our teachers of the word. Tom Connell is not here today, but Amanda Roach, Doug Newman, and Lisa Crawford. Beloved in the Lord, you have been chosen out of this congregation as Christians known to love the Holy Scriptures and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may assist me, your pastor, in the ministry of the word for the building up of the children of God to their eternal welfare and to the praise of his glorious grace. As you undertake this solemn office, the Lord of all, who has put into your hands his holy, precious scripture, now puts into your hands also the souls of the lambs and sheep of Christ's flock, which he purchased with his own blood, that you may feed them his word of life. Therefore, I ask you, do you believe that all holy scripture is the very word of God, holy, true, and without error, given that we might believe in Jesus Christ and in him be saved? Do you believe that the doctrines of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures are the true and unchanged teachings of God's word? Then answer, I do believe.
I do believe.
Will you teach the Christians in your care only what the scripture itself teaches in accordance with the confessions of our church? Then answer, I will.
I will.
Will you pray for the souls you teach, for me, your fellow teacher, and for yourself? And will you devote yourself to ongoing study of the scriptures that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit and be equipped for the work he will do through you? Then answer, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Let us pray.
Dearest Lord Jesus, teacher and Lord, bless these your servants as they instruct the lambs of your flock. Open the scriptures to them that they may see you in your word. Increase their faith and joy in you. Defend them from the assaults of devil, from false words of this world, and from their own doubts, fears, and sin. But let them, with strong confidence in you and in your strong word, be servants of grace, that their labors may bear fruit now and into eternity, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. As a called minister of this flock, to whom the ministry of word and sacrament has been entrusted, I install you as teachers of the Word of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs.
For faith and an increase of faith, even in the midst of unbelief, that God the Holy Spirit would sustain us by the word through the many troubles and trials of this world, let us pray to the Lord. For the holy Christian church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, and especially for Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Pastor Don Collagio, that God would bless his word in our midst, extend his kingdom, sustain his servants, and bring the fruits of faith in the lives of his people. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the government and all who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably, and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby LaBere and Kaylee Phelps, and for all who are engaged or newly married, especially for Brian and Shayla, that the Lord would bless, sustain, and uphold them through every shared joy and sorrow. Lord, in your mercy. For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in need. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who are sick, especially Amy Bennett, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Joe Ewing, Virginia Fleming, Reverend Kevin Foss, Jackie Gordon, Rosemary Jackson, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Audrey Linick, Nancy McTy, Phyllis Moss, Lucy Naylor, Eleanor Norrie, MJ Oakes, and Ed Pinard, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, and with thanksgiving for the care received by Rose Meyer's niece, Lori Goss, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who commune, that they may be strengthened by the body and blood of Christ, who suffered unjustly for our sins and was vindicated in his resurrection, and that they may be certain no one can contend against or declare guilty those who have been reconciled to God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank and praise you for feeding us this life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that, having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and internally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.